This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. The House of Representatives is moving forward with drafting articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced the development at a press conference this morning.
The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit.
Republicans in the House are criticizing the move, saying it's rushed. Here's House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It's not a day that history will be proud of. It's not a day I hope America ever repeats.
With us to help break it down is WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins. She joins us now from Washington. Kimberly, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
Hi, Kimberly. I'm so glad that you're both a journalist and a lawyer today because I have lots of process questions for you that I'm hoping we can work through. So let me start by just saying, asking this. On the same day, the House Judiciary Committee announces more hearings next week, but Nancy Pelosi says that the House is going to start articles of impeachment, start drafting them now. Shouldn't that be sequential? How can those things happen simultaneously?
That's a great question. So what's going to happen in this hearing on Monday announced by the Senate Judiciary Committee is that they're going to hear the evidence from both the House attorneys who are putting together the case for impeachment, as well as the Republican attorneys and the White House, a representative from the White House, if the White House chooses to participate in defending them. They're going to basically present the case and the defense. And after that, members of the Judiciary Committee will begin drafting articles of impeachment.
Okay, so that's clear. So now, who's responsible for drafting those articles? Is there a particular committee?
Yes, that will rest with the Judiciary Committee. And today I spoke with one member, Congressman David Cicilline from Rhode Island today. And I asked him whether these articles were focused just on the Ukrainian matter, this idea that the president pressured Ukrainian to try to get dirt on Joe Biden and his son, or whether it will include other things like, say, violations of the Emoluments Clause or things that came up with the Mueller report. He didn't himself say which he would prefer. That's something that the committee will have to decide. But he does think that it should represent a pattern of behavior by the president. Let's listen to what he told me.
But I think the articles of impeachment have to really focus on what our founders saw as the most danger, that is abuse of power. The idea of the president using the unique powers of his office, which are enormous, for his own political, personal, or financial gain.
So that gives a lot of wiggle room here, because that was what the Mueller report was about, as well as this the latest information about the Ukrainian matter.
OK. And is there a brief play by play that you can give us of the process once we get through the hearing at the beginning of next week?
Yeah. So right. Overall, the idea is to have articles of impeachment drafted. Then it goes to the House to be approved. And ultimately, the Democrats want to get this done before Christmas. They've already been notified that they should stick around at least until December 20th, a little later than they normally do. They're hoping to get that vote done before the end of the year.
You just mentioned Christmas. Yesterday, we heard Georgia Republican Doug Collins. He's the top Republican on the Judiciary Committee. He argued that Democrats were moving too fast towards impeachment. But, for example, Andrew Johnson's impeachment took 3 months from impeachment to the House to acquittal in the Senate. Bill Clinton's was just over 4 months. Is this new impeachment process really much faster?
It really isn't. I mean, it seemed Democrats made that case yesterday at their big hearing with the constitutional efforts. And Congressman Cicilline said the same. Let's take a look at what he said.
When the whistleblower report was filed, that sort of changed the speed at which we were moving, because it was such a dangerous set of facts. The president of the United States really compromising the national security of the United States.
And so he doesn't believe it's moving too fast and that they're proceeding at just the right rate.
All right. So now to switch to sort of the American public's view of this, what is the feeling in Congress about how this case is resonating with the American public?
Well, I also spoke today with Congressman Stephen Lynch. He's on the Oversight and the Financial Services Committee, which played a part in leading up to the impeachment. And I asked him if he thought the Democrats were making the case for impeachment to the American public, especially at a time where President Trump's campaign and the RNC are paying millions of dollars to Facebook alone in ads, really messaging against the Democrats and saying that it was political. And when I asked him if the Democrats were making the case, let's hear what he told me.
I think it's mixed. I do. I'm not sure that the American people have followed this with the level of attention that's required to understand it. Even though I think the facts are rather simple here, and I think that's part of our goal is to keep it simple enough so people understand exactly what we're talking about.
And he told me he really hopes that they keep it just to the Ukrainian matter to keep that message clear and concise. He thinks that the case is strongest when you focus just on Ukraine.
And Kimberly, just quickly, any signs of anyone crossing sides in Washington today, Republican or Democrat?
No, I think this will be strictly party line votes from here on out.
All right. WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So now for more analysis, let's turn to our legal analyst, Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here, as always.
So we're at a different place, a different phase of the impeachment hearings and inquiry. Yesterday's hearings were about the constitutional basis for impeachment rather than direct witnesses, for example. Why was it important to take the step yesterday of hearing from those experts?
Well, it was important to put this in a context, that this is to put it in a historical context, which I thought was really quite interesting. So one takeaway from at least the three and even the fourth expert who had been referred by the Republicans was this, that there had been an abuse of power, which is the president used the levers of government, holding on to the aid, the coming state visit, use the levers of government for a private purpose. And then Professor Carlin went even further. It's not just a private purpose, but it was a purpose to interfere in the 2020 election. And she was, it was such an interesting comment that the reason why you had impeachment rather than rely on elections is that someone could use the levers of power to distort the electoral process. And that's why you needed impeachment. And then the third point, it was not just abuse of power for private gain or to distort the election, but also in connection with national security, which made it a more urgent matter. So it had to be put in context because to intone, as many people do, it's a political process, suggests it has no limits, no standards. And they were trying to suggest that there really are constitutional historical standards.
That this isn't just the Wild West,
right,
basically.
That's right.
All right. Now, to hearken back to Sesame Street, the old which of these things is not like the other. So we had three experts who seemed relatively in agreement yesterday. But George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, who was called by the GOP, seemed to cause some significant stir with his testimony. And I want to just spend a couple of minutes breaking down a couple of key pieces. First, he pushed back hard on whether the House has sufficient grounds for impeachment now on obstruction of justice. He asserted that the House Democrats hadn't made essentially full or sufficient use of the courts in forcing the White House to cooperate. Here he is explaining his testimony from yesterday to NPR's Rachel Martin this morning on Morning Edition.
It's not that you can't impeach a president for withholding documents and witnesses. You can. And President Trump could well be the next one to be impeached on those grounds. Mm-hmm. What I was telling Congress is that they've burned 2 months. They should have gone to court over people like John Bolton and gotten a court order. That would make it a stronger case.
To the counterpoint, lawyer and Fox News commentator Andrew Napolitano, who says he's worked with Turley, pushed back saying, quote, when Mick Mulvaney, Mike Pompeo receive a subpoena and they throw it in a drawer, they don't comply or challenge because the president told them to, that is the act of obstruction, end quote. So which is it?
There's no requirement that they had to go to the court. And the first ruling, certainly the McGahn ruling, no one has a right to simply say, I'm not going to show up.
McGahn being Don McGahn, former White House
lawyer. That's former White House counsel. You don't have a right to do that. You have to show up and say, here's what I can answer, here's what I can't answer. So to some degree, saying that they had to go to the courts to for the purposes of articulating something which is absolutely clear doesn't make any sense. And not only that, you had the likelihood, as we've seen in other cases, you know, that the litigation with respect to the president's tax returns is also clear. The statute says shall turn over. So it's clear that this is a pretext. Pushing the Democrats to go to the courts only means you get the predictable decision, which I said is absolutely clear, and they are just going to appeal it. So I think it's completely pretextual. The position they're taking is, that is to say, I don't even have to show up is so far beyond what the law requires that I don't think it needs to be tested in the courts.
So there's a piece of me listening to you that gets that, and a piece of me thinking, it feels like our democracy is hanging in the balance. So why not take every last step, every last moment available for every ounce of credibility before drafting and voting on articles of impeachment in the president of the United States, even if it's not necessarily required?
I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning. If the framework here is this is an abuse of power with respect to electoral meddling, the more you push it into 2020, the more electoral meddling there will be. And if this is an abuse of power with respect to national security, the more you push it into 2020, the more at risk the national security would be. So the notion, the time pressure, it seems to me, that they have felt, that the Democrats have felt, is in part the time pressure of an election. Doing this next year begins to look much more fraught. But there really is a time pressure which is intrinsic to these allegations, which are really, I was so moved by this notion of the debate in Constitutional Congress about why we had impeachment, why not rely on the election. And there was a proposal to not have impeachment. And the answer was because the tyrant will be able to manipulate the electoral process. And that's where we are.
So to be very clear, the tension in time in this particular instance is because the crime, pardon me, the high crimes or misdemeanors, to use constitutional language, being considered is one that time favors.
That's right.
Is
and,
that right?
That's right. And the alternative view is that the position they're taking, resisting even appearing, is not even in the zone of legitimacy. Really, I can't say that again. It was one thing before there were as an impeachment process, and there was a question about, was this beyond what Congress should do in its ordinary oversight powers? You have an impeachment process now. So ignoring these subpoenas with respect to impeachment is really not even in the zone of legitimacy.
So you said zone of legitimacy, and I perked right up because as a former professor, I used to love to teach my students about legitimacy. So let's stay with this, because the other thing that it sounded like Turley was arguing yesterday is that it is too risky in terms of destabilizing our democracy to bring articles of impeachment if it's not clear and provable that there was a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
There is no requirement that it be a crime. That is to say that there is something in the criminal code that matches onto it. It is just an abuse of power situation. So in one sense, that is both, to the law professor and me, over-inclusive and under-inclusive. That is to say, if Turley actually took the position that it was appropriate to go after Clinton for impeachment because he lied under oath, to be sure, that was a crime, but that was a crime that had nothing to do with the government. So crimes include too much, and it's clear impeachment has to do with something less than any old crime. Impeachment has to do with abuse of power, much of which could comprise a crime, but it also could be more than that. In addition, this is a bribery crime. This is an extortion crime. Extortion means coercion. Bribery means you're basically throwing money at someone to do something. This is both. So I don't think it fits uncomfortably even in the notion of a crime. And obstruction of justice is also a crime.
So we just use the word crime a lot. You brought up a lot of different charges. This is another question that comes up. This particular process around this impeachment inquiry started with a phone call to Vladimir Zelensky, president of Ukraine. It was about seeking foreign assistance for personal political gain by the president of the United States. Now we've had enter into this conversation obstruction of justice, perhaps the Mueller report. I've heard people suggest maybe emoluments will be in the mix. So as a former federal judge, are cases stronger when they are laid with more charges, or are they stronger when they have a narrow focus?
The government usually tries to begin an indictment process with a garbage bag of everything you did wrong, and then winnows it down as time goes on. So if this were an ordinary criminal prosecution, you would say charge everything. That's where you would start. And so that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is because this is partly a political process. The more complicated the articles of impeachment, the harder it is for Americans to follow it. So I think it could go either way.
All right. So we've got 1 minute left. So I want to ask you, how would you characterize the moment we're in?
It is a moment of constitutional crisis. whenever there is an impeachment, it is a moment of constitutional crisis because it is and should be an extraordinary remedy. I think that it's particularly a constitutional crisis here because you have a president who has been not cooperating in ways that no other president did. I can't say that enough. Even Nixon, cooperated to a degree and fought through, you know, took positions that were not that ultimately lost, but were not unreasonable positions. That to say, I don't believe in any of this is really a constitutional affront of very substantial proportions.
WBUR legal analyst and former federal judge Nancy Gertner, also a lecturer at Harvard Law School. Love it when you come in. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
All right, stay with us. Coming up, WBUR's Anthony Brooks caught up with Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg in New Hampshire. We're going to bring you their conversation next. I'm Tiziana Dearing. This is Radio Boston.